Listen, the birth of Jesus had to be guided by the prayers of people. The man prayed day and night, doing nothing else but praying. The Lord explained to him, this prayer will stop when the child has been born. He was tired of life, but he couldn't stop praying. Then finally he heard the cry of the child. He saw the child and said, now your servant can depart in peace. We, Father, anyway, let me not talk. Christianity, we have to realign. Of course, you know, nobody can talk to me now and tell me that I gave money, I come and see the car God gave me back. I will beat you first. If I have, no, listen, if you are one of the people that you are younger than me and I've been teaching you, I will deny you, I will insult you so well, you will drive the car, you go jam on the road. Nothing wrong with driving cars. That's not what I'm saying. But we know by now we should be looking beyond that. We don't take pride in those things. There are things we use. Are you getting my point? It's like you buy a new wrapper to cover yourself at night. You come and give testimony, praise God. See my wrapper. Now when I cover, they warm. I said, you open somewhere so that I will show you the problem in Christianity today. Lamentations, chapter 4. Please, notice something there. Now, I just like to read in context. Now, what Jeremiah was saying, he was describing the sufferings, the problems that Israel was having to endure. In verse 11, he said, the Lord has accomplished his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. And he has kindled the fire in Zion, which has consumed its foundations. He described all the problems that the people were experiencing. If you go back to around verse 7, in fact, from the beginning, you'll see it. Talk about dark gold, all right? From gold that used to be pure. And that was describing the people of Israel, the royalty in Israel. How things have really gone wrong with them. He now got down to verse 13. Why did all of this happen? He said, because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who have shed in her midst the blood of the righteous. Let me stop there. Why did I read this? I've always said it. The problem of the world is the church. The problem of the church is the preachers. Did you hear what I said? The problem of the world is what? The church, when they are not being the church. I still say it till today. Listen. Obama, that's the American president, the other day, shouted something about homosexuality, support for gay marriage. I have said it from time. That is not the basic problem. Those are the manifestations of the problems. You want to see the problem? Tune TV now. Listen to American preachers. That's what the problem is. Solving the worst problems is not politics. The other day when they wanted to license Islamic banking in Nigeria, people were making a lot of noise. I was one guy that did not make any noise. I did not see the cause for the noise. The man said, I want to be able to operate Islamic banks according to Islamic tech. What's your problem? I think Christians just get diverted into unnecessary things. The same people who are shouting, go to their churches on Sundays, they are lying. From the beginning to the end, the message is a lie. Twist messages to make people do what you want. Then you are shouting that someone is an Islamic bank. You heard what Jeremiah said. The problem in Israel was the prophets and the priests. That's how the problem began. So that's why God said, the time will come, I will give you pastors after my heart. Because there are all kinds of shepherds in the place. Now, I'm digressing a bit, but just get something. There's a reason I'm trying to say all of these things. Because we have been here for a long time. We teach ourselves things that we never allow this world to be redeemed. When we don't understand God's reward system. God's reward system is not you give a naira, I give you 10 back. Those are principles of the spiritual realm. Are you getting my point? Like I said in those of my books, I said, listen, the law of giving and receiving is a correct law. It is. But God did not put it in there, all right, to be an incentive for the stingy man to give. He put it in there, that is the knowledge of it. The law is just there. The law has nothing to do. Why he put it there is not what we're discussing. The law is just there. But the preaching of it, the knowledge of it, was never so as to make a stingy man give. It was supposed to be an encouragement for the heart that gives. For example, the Philippians, they gave a lot. Look, read Philippians chapter 4. And after they had given, Paul began to encourage them. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That message was preached to those who already give. He was not using it to motivate anybody. Are you getting my point? If you go and read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he explained, in fact, he used the work of other Christians to challenge the Corinthians, the Macedonians. He said, look at how poor you guys said they are, but look at what they were able to do. I have been preaching to you for a long time, so I have bragged on you. Having preached that, he now said to them, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. What I'm going to say is this. It's not an incentive for a stingy man. It's a matter of fact that every good work has what? A reward. That is that kind of reward. But let me say it again. Anybody who does good work because of the rewards, Paul said, profits nothing. Learning from Moses. What happened to Moses? Moses was sent to go and deliver. Listen, he was born for that reason. His parents said, this is a beautiful child. What does it mean to have a beautiful child? To have a child that you understand the purpose for which he was born. His reward was that his assignment in life will be fulfilled. That is what I'm trying to get Christians to understand. His reward was not, when I have done this, God will now settle me. Do you understand the point I'm making? The Bible says he was looking to the reward. Listen, let's continue from that point. I needed to emphasize that to us again. Because people have heard the other thing so seriously that you are tired. In fact, there's a particular man, once I start TV, I see his face, I switch the channel. Once he starts, I'm just tired. Now, for those of you who are ministers, let me tell you the truth. I have found that no matter how much talk you talk, let me tell you something about telling lies or trying to force things before their time. They expire much earlier than you want them to expire. let me explain like this. How many of you know what they call DDT? No, not DDT. Tree killer. Tree killer. Killer of tree. Tree. Plant. There's a chemical called tree killer. Okay, there are a number of them, but two of them that I knew then. They might have increased in number. Now, that chemical called trichula, right? You know what it does? This was the way they explained it to us those days. That what trichula does is that, of course, it kills trees. So the way you do it is that you peel the bark of the tree and paint it, all right? Or if it's a tree that has a very thin bark, you just paint it on the tree, all right? And it takes a while. But after some days and weeks, you just see that the tree dies. You know, initially, the leaves start falling off, then the tree dies. That's it. The tree is dead, okay? Now, how does it work? The way it was explained to us when we were children is that it's simple. It makes the tree start growing very fast. So fast that the roots can't absorb enough nutrients to keep up. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, in effect, the tree starts behaving as if there are no nutrients, and then it dies. Do you understand the concept? Therefore, what I'm bringing out from there is this. In life, if you hasten things before their time, they also die quick. You get the principle. I was speaking to preachers. Listen to this. This just if you're a preacher and you are hearing this somewhere, listen very well. Telling stories, motivating people with selfish reward to make them give does not help you, does not help them. Like tree killer, it will give you quick, you know, boost. But you also shrivel after a while. Like somebody said once, anyone who jumps up comes down. But anyone who grows up stays up. Are you getting my point? If you jump up, you will come down. In fact, I play that with my children all the time. You raise up your hand, they start going by and jumping to reach it. But me, they didn't notice that me, I did not jump to put up my hand. I just put up my hand. Why? Because I grew to that level. Listen, what you need as a minister is to teach the truth consistently, persistently, relentlessly. Like Paul said, in season and out of season. The word of God builds people up. Are you getting my point? It does. And as people grow, you follow what I'm saying? The ministry grows. Life, listen, the whole thing will grow. Life is injected into it and they remain up. You will not have to. You see, now, if you know, I say something all the time, the way you start something is the way you will sustain it. If you start your business not sleeping, you will never sleep again. So now, don't say that this is the initial state. Let me not sleep. The after I start sleeping, forget it. If you start by not sleeping, you will continue by not sleeping. So now make up your mind. I don't work this particular day of the week, at least one day. And this particular time my phone goes off, I don't work within this point and this point. That is the only way you will sustain it. You are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, if you start your ministry by shouting, looking for money, if you survive it for the next 25 years, at that point you will still be doing the same thing. Bishop Oyedepo used to say, the blessing of God comes at a time it will not become a curse. He said, even though it's slow, it's sure. Are you getting my point? And he said, I'd rather be slow and sure than to be fast and fail. Let's get that into our minds, though, and not forget it. I want today's Christians to wake up to reality. That's what I'm going to explain. And let us understand that, listen, the work of God is not the one we have been doing for a very long time, doing things because of what we are going to get. That's not the spirit of Moses. We should celebrate the fact that we did that which was right. I've been preaching it. I like to repeat it until you can say it in your dream, in your sleep. Christians don't do things because of what they are going to get. They do them because those things are right. Are you getting my point? You can't get me to feel bad about something that I did that I knew was right, no matter what the consequences are. My pastor said those days, he said, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. Just do that which is right. Whatever comes out of it is the will of God. And that is true Christianity. Not, you know, I told you the day I had to shout this out loud somewhere. He was saying, if your husband has been like this, you will do it like this or he will become like this. That is witchcraft. When you hear witchcraft, you think it's those who go to coven at night and be dancing half naked around the red flame, carrying cork on their heads. That's not witchcraft, too. You want to collect something for your husband? You first go and rub his back. You will do like this. Then he will give it to you. You're a witch. That's witchcraft. That is why you get disappointed. Why do we do what is right? Because it's right. If you know rubbing your husband's back is good to make him calm down, whether you want anything or not, rub his back. Not only when you need something. And that's, again, by the way, that's how we praise God too. He said, when you want to praise God, when you need something, you first approach. You ever enter his gates with thanksgiving? And you enter the courts with praise. And then God will not know what's happening, so he will just start blessing you. You may think God is in PDP, but he's not. He's not in PDP. Before you begin to think of approaching, he knows what you're looking for. I just want to be where you are. I said, don't deceive me. You don't want to be anywhere. You want something. Then as you begin to worship, the gates of heaven will begin to open. God is not fooled. The Bible says God is not mocked. As you begin to start the worship, they look at you like this. They say, Gabriel, come. She's looking for something. So this praise, don't record it too. This is not music. You can dance if you like. She's not singing to me. Person goes sing. Say, oh, Father, we worship you. All right. By the way, the Lord said, now, see. You know, I need to get that job. Lord, give me this job. So Gabriel, we're going to give her the job. There's only one problem attached with giving her this job. Gabriel will say, Lord, what is it? Just wait till Sunday service. On Friday, she gets the job. On Sunday, any testimonies? Brethren, it's good to praise God. God said, Gabriel, what did I tell you? This is a problem. Listen, last week when Pastor was teaching us anything we knew, we just enter with praise. Oh, I remember on that Wednesday, the interview was on Wednesday morning. Early morning, I woke up. I began to worship. And I worshipped, and I worshipped, and I worshipped. And when I finished worshipping, I told the Lord my request. God, this is like Gabriel. Did I not tell you? This is the problem. This is what the problem is. Who gets the glory? Her praise. Not God. She doesn't know. She comes to give testimony. And I worshipped. After worshipping, I knew when I broke through with my worship. God said, you see, Gabriel, see? The worship is working. God is not working. The power of God is not working. It's her worship that is working. Next testimony, praise God. I also got the job, amen. My own was with a seed. Hi. And God looked and said, Gabriel, what shall we do to these people? And the Lord said, Gabriel, send them Pastor Banky. To go and tell them, I gave you that job not because of your praise, you were not praising me. I gave you that job not because of your offerings. You did not give me anything. I saw through everything. The moment you woke up, I knew you were going to start singing stupid songs. Why did I give it to you? It's called mercy. It's called love. Now go back and go and teach other people that the reason why I give is because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's why I give. That's why I give. Go back and tell your friends that if they need anything, they should stop singing. They should stop the nonsense praise. Open your mouth and ask. You know the story of Jesus when he got to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, Father, I know you hear me always. In fact, the only reason why I'm saying it out loud is so that these people will understand what is going on here. Otherwise, Jesus would have reached there and just simply whispered, Lazarus would have come out. When he raised the child of the widow of nine, there was no song. There was no Father, I thank you. They just explained to him, she's a widow, he's her only child. Stop the casket. Oh boy, get up, your mother is crying. That's the end of it. What am I saying? We even turn some of our spiritual, see, that's why God said, your righteousness is like filthy rags in my sight. That's what he means. There are people that, now you see all the praise you have been praising, it didn't reach anywhere. If you want to praise, praise. You understand? I remember when I packed to the house I was living in before this one now. One of those days, I just laid on the floor in the bedroom. And the bedroom was so big. And I began to thank God for the size of the bedroom. I'm telling you the truth. I do that. This one, I do it a lot. Sometimes I take a glass of water. Before I drink, I just start thanking God. Because it's possible to be so thirsty, yet there's no water. And it is very possible to have a lot of water and you can't swallow. So I just take the water and say, Lord, I thank you. Listen, that's why Jesus taught us to give thanks before eating. And I said something then, I think on radio. I said, if you raise your children with the attitude of thanksgiving, listen to me, they will never lack in life. Because what makes people have problems is when they focus their eyes on wrong things. If they think that there's food in the house because daddy works, they will become poor one day. If they think there's food in the house because mommy works, they will have a problem. If they think there's water because daddy knows where to get it, they will have a problem. But if you teach them to appreciate that this is a gift of God, every day in life they will not trust themselves for anything. And once your faith is locked on God like that, He will always pour things in your direction. Yeah. Do you get the point I'm making? So why do we worship? Just appreciation. We're born to worship. Are you getting my point? If you listen to that my series on radio, I explained that, listen, anybody who says there's no God is lying. Listen, I can listen to a man that says I don't know what God is like or what God is. But anyone who says there is no God is a fat liar. Deliberately lying. Why did I say so? Because just like you get thirsty, it's a flesh thing. Just like you get hungry, it's a flesh thing. Are you getting my point? Even a pregnant woman, there's what we call pica. You get my point? In medicine, that is, pregnant women tend to eat anyhow. You know the reason? That they want to say anyhow, not too much food, though. They can eat things that are out of order. The reason is because of vitamin and mineral deficiencies. When the child starts sucking it out of the mother's blood, suddenly she needs some more. Not a joke. She will see sand and it appears appetizing. It's a flesh thing. I've had parents, I remember one particular one, I was a child. I was already either in medical school or a young doctor, a doctor, yes. A parent dragged the child to clinic, said, this child is always eating sand. I prescribed minerals and vitamins for the boy. That's why a child suddenly wants to eat sand. Why am I saying this? In the same manner, the spirit also wants to reach out. There's a time the spirit gets thirsty. The spirit gets hungry. And the only thing that feeds that spirit is the worship of God. Anybody who says there's no God is lying. It's like somebody waking up in the morning and say, I don't like vitamins. So there are no vitamins. You will swell, you will drop dead. Remove all the vitamins from my food. You will have skin problems, heart problems, brain problems, nerve problems. In the same manner, your spirit must contact God, otherwise you will choke spiritually to death. That's why you read a lot of stories in the papers. Someone just wake up one morning, just carry a gun, shoot his wife, shoot his children, shoot the neighbor, shoot the father-in-law, his own father, the mother-in-law. Keep on shooting until the police comes, then he shoots himself. It's a choked spirit. Why am I saying this? That's why we worship. We just have to worship. It's part of it. We're not trying to bribe anybody or get anything out of anybody. Why do we thank God? Has He not done something for you? Thanksgiving is not about what am I going to get next? No. Thanksgiving is simple. Oh boy, take a breath. Come, bring it out. Father, I thank you for that breath. What is praise? Praise is simply a declaration of who the power lies with. That's what praise is. That's what praise is. The power belongs to God. Describing the things He has done, the things He can do. That's what praise is. It's not a way. We're not bribing anybody. It's a praise is the food of God. God said, if it was so, I wouldn't have told you about it. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. What I'm going to emphasize again, Christians, this is our reward. The fulfillment of that commission that God placed over our lives. Did you hear what I said? This is our reward. Like the child with 57 cents, it is a completion of that good work that we so intensely desire. This is our reward. For example, in Nigeria of today, let me say this so anybody hearing it, we understand and perform it. If you're a Christian, you're entering political office. One day, take pride in the fact that when I was going into that office, I had 625,000 naira in all my accounts put together. 4 years later, when I stopped being minister, I still had 625,000 naira. Well, okay, maybe 610 now. I've spent some of it. I did not build a house in the process. I can beat my chest, all right? I can beat my chest that I did not collect anything from anybody. And that will be Christianity. Too bad for your pastor who didn't get any tithes from you for 4 years. Too bad. What were you doing? We didn't hear from you. You didn't hear from me. You were not praying for me. No, we didn't hear from you. How God, this was my salary. I'm sorry. Did I not send you 10,000 naira at that time? He said, yes, you did. That was a special tithe. When did I see money? My phones were paid for. The cars were paid for. I flew officially. Personal money. Oh, God, now only salary. And if you do that where I am, I will tell your story everywhere. That's a special reward. That you can come out and say, yes, I went into Babylon and I was not enticed. I did not defile myself in Babylon. Oh God. Do you know the problem with Nigeria today? It's not Farouk Lawan. No. It is you and me, Christians. We, pastors, who are a member, we enter office and next week, he comes and gives a tithe of 10 million naira and we are happy. There's no point asking questions. The money is not good. In case you're a Pastor Banky follower, you didn't hear? Let me tell you ahead of time. The day you are entering political office, call me. I say, sir, please, I will not be able to give you any gift or the ministry for the next 3 years. I will be very happy with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will pray with you. Oh, I don't know whether you are getting my point. If you want to steal money, don't let me know about it. The day you call me, having joined in business as usual, you will have migraine from that day till they discharge you from that office. You know why? Because you put the phone here and you called me and my spirit transmitted into it and gave you a migraine. Listen, you know why I'm saying this? Listen, some things may even be legitimate. No, you make up your mind. This time around, I'm sorry. After all, eating food was not a problem. Yet, Daniel and Co said no. Why am I emphasizing it? Because as it is right now, we need that kind of serious deviation from the norm to be able to redeem our country. How can you gather men and say, investigate where money disappeared to? And they located, in their opinion, those who had the money, and they bring a portion of it. And everything will disappear. Again, I have no problem with an allergy who does that. No, there's no problem with that. What else do you expect him to do? If he doesn't do it, doesn't need Christ. Are you getting my point? It is okay, let him do it. My problem is when you do it. It's when a brother does it. It's when a sister does it. It is when we pastors now celebrate it. That is where my problem is. Moses, what was his reward? Listen, it was the deliverance of Israel. Moses, what was his reward? Simple. It was that the work of God was accomplished. Listen, let me give you the word of God again. Your water will not fail. Your bread will be guaranteed. Listen, God will make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things will abound to good works. You will never lack. Listen, he said, the Lord is your shepherd, therefore you shall not want. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Believe that. Just believe it. Then face life and face it. Pastor, all my mates have cars, and I don't have. You know what it means? I can read it to you from scriptures. It means you don't need one. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So it's one of two things. Either you're a wicked soul or you don't need one. Choose one. Because no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Either you're wicked and you are confessing to me, Pastor, I'm a wicked man. I don't believe the word of God. When he talks like this, I go behind and see another one. It's either that or simply, it's not yet time. Either that or simply, the time is coming. I remember those when I was in Lagos, I used to make fun of the thing. I remember those days I would stand. Initially, I lived with somebody who was dealing in cars. And if you know how much I love, you know, technical things, cars and all of that. In fact, I used to brag that I could take a look at a car for 1 second. I look at it once, I close my eyes, I tell you the year, the model, who made it and everything. And I used to do it. My wife can testify to that one. A car will pass clean like this at night. I'm not kidding, no. At night. And I said, oh, that's the 2007 Ford Edge.